And it's time now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Nigeria will travel to Brazil for the Confederations Cup after issues over bonus payments are resolved. Usain Bolt is back in Oslo.
Usain Bolt, who powers away now. The head starts to roll, but he's 5 metres clear and he wins in 19.80 seconds.
And Tony Parker is fit to play for the Spurs in Game 4 of the NBA playoffs in Texas. So Nigeria's players are now expected to arrive in Brazil for the Confederations Cup on Saturday after an argument over bonus payments saw them miss their scheduled flight on Thursday. It means they'll touch down around 48 hours before their opening match with Tahiti. The squad were unhappy that planned rewards for their World Cup win against Kenya and draw with Namibia were halved. But the FIFA General Secretary Jerome Valka says Nigerian officials have assured him that the players will now make the tournament.
I spoke with the team manager and they will be in the plane on Saturday and will be at the Confederations Cup. So the problem is solved. The issue is solved and they will fly to Brazil on Saturday.
Well, the former Nigerian international striker Jonathan Akpopore says situations like this are all too familiar.
That is actually not something very new in Nigerian football. You know, it happens like from generations that, you know, played before me, my generation, and you know, this generation also. But in this case, it's been going on and on after the Nations Cup. The coach first came up and he said, you know, he had a problem with some of the officials at the Nations Cup, the NFF officials, and then two of the players came up and they said, look, they have problems with the coach not communicating enough with them, and now they're talking about bonuses that were promised. It goes on and on, and you know, at one time it has to affect the players.
Some transfer news for you, and Chelsea have agreed a $28 million fee with Bayer Leverkusen to sign the German international midfielder Andre Schürrle. He's still to agree personal terms and must pass a medical. Aston Villa have confirmed the arrival of two players, the Danish international defender Jorz Akor and the Dutch midfielder Leandro Bakuna, who joins from Groningen. Now to athletics, and Usain Bolt had an effortless win in the men's 200 metres at the Diamond League meeting in Oslo on Thursday. It was his first run since being beaten by Justin Gatlin in Rome last week. And watching for the BBC at the Bislett Stadium was Ed Harry.
Bolt, in the cold after the rain, set alight the 2013 season. No one's run a 200 metres that fast in Oslo since Frankie Fredericks got the better of Michael Johnson 17 years ago. Fredericks' mark now eclipsed by the Jamaican's 19.79 seconds. The world record holder is back, if he was ever really away. Meseret Defar, who regained her Olympic 5,000 metres title in London, looks like she could now go on to recapture the world title later this year. The Ethiopian, on a track where she set the world record back in 2007, dominated a quality field to set the year's fastest time.
Well, Bolt told Harry afterwards that he was relaxed about the media criticism following his defeat in Rome.
The media is going to write what they want to write, even though I might win and they might still have bad things to say. You never know. So for me, I just go out there. I have a goal when I go there every time. I always want to win, but you're not going to win every race. And I've learned that over the years of being in track and field. And for me, the championship's always where it matters. So I take my time, work my way up and get it done when it matters.
How much did it appeal to you when they mentioned Frankie Fredericks, a 17-year-old stadium record, which you've now come and broken?
For me, that would be, when I heard, I was like, you know, that would be a good start. For the first 200 metres, so I decided that I was feeling good in training, so why not go out there and push my body and see what I can do, so I did just that.
How much does it send a message to everybody else in a World Championship year?
I think no one doubts me, for sure. I don't think any athletes doubt me because they've seen me at my worst. I've been in competition where I've been out for 3 months and I've come back to win championship. So for me to run 9-9 and 19-7 at this stage of the season, I have a long way to go and a lot more improvements to go.
Usain Bolt with the BBC's Ed Harry. Now, Tony Parker said he's fit to play for the San Antonio Spurs in Game 4 of basketball's NBA Finals. He had been struggling with a hamstring strain. The Spurs lead 2-1 in the best-of-seven series after their victory over the Miami Heat in Game 3, where LeBron James was held to just 15 points. And as the BBC's Chris Mitchell reports from Texas, LeBron's performance has been the focus of the series so far.
He has promised everyone, especially Miami fans, that he will do better tonight. He's guaranteed that he will play better tonight in Texas. And he will have to play better, because in Game 3, he just wasn't at the party at all. In fact, interestingly, for basketball fans out there, he didn't draw a single foul. What it means is that LeBron James wasn't really using his massive body frame to drive into players, to use the athletic ability that he has. It's interesting, though, because, like I say, strange atmosphere around the team. And Chris Bosh, who's not been in good form for them throughout the playoffs, says it's a bit like an emotional roller coaster.
It's like bipolar basketball all the time. It's just highs of highs, lows of lows. You win 1 minute, hey, you know, last night, before last night happened, I mean, it was, can the Spurs bounce back? I mean, oh, man, it's Miami series. Now it's the opposite. So, you know, it's just stuff you have to deal with.
There are huge highs and huge lows for both teams during this series. But what the Spurs did during Game 3 was they marked him out of the game effectively. When LeBron James went to the bucket, often he'd have two, three, sometimes four players around him, hassling him, harrying him, not letting him get a shot off, not letting him get an effective pass off. The main man doing the damage on a one-on-one basis is Kawhi Leonard. Listen out for his name in the post-game reports later on tonight, because he's been marking LeBron James incredibly effectively. Ime Udoka is here. He's a former Nigerian international you may know of. He's now on the San Antonio Spurs coaching staff. I asked him how they managed to silence LeBron.
We were doing a great job on him in game two. You know, he was 3-for-13 after three quarters, and then, you know, they go on a run. And so they have a lot of talented players, obviously Wade, Bosh, and a lot of shooters. So you can hold LeBron down and they can still beat you. So same thing we try to do with our team. We pride ourselves on getting everybody involved, you know, playing. And if one guy is struggling, other guys step up. So just because LeBron's a little down, we don't expect it to be that much easier. We expect other guys to step up, but we know he'll bring his best as well.
The first round of the U.S. Open Golf is ongoing at Merion in Pennsylvania after heavy rain and lightning suspended play for 3.5 hours earlier in the day. Phil Mickelson leads on 3 under par. He's one shot ahead of the rest of the field at the end of his first round. Mickelson only arrived at the course in the early hours of Thursday morning after an overnight flight from California. Tiger Woods is 1 over par after just 6 holes. Now to cricket, and the Australian batsman David Warner has publicly apologised after he was suspended for punching the England player Joe Root at a bar in Birmingham earlier this week. Cricket Australia say Warner won't be available for selection until the first match of the Ashes series, and he's also been fined over $10,000. Warner appeared at a news conference to say he accepted his punishment.
I won't deny I hadn't had a couple of drinks, but there's no excuse for that. I did what I did, and it's totally, obviously, it's totally out of line. I'm extremely apologetic. It should not have happened. I've exchanged text messages with Joe. He accepted my apology, which I'm thoroughly grateful for, and it won't come to that circumstance again, because I've got to make the right decisions. I've done the wrong thing. I'm here to move on. I don't think I have a drinking problem at all. It's just basically I've got to make the right decisions at the right time, and the other night wasn't a good time to go out and have a beer. We'd lost the game. Even though we had a day off the next day, we still lost. You know, we don't have curfews, but looking back, shouldn't have been in that situation.
And to matters on the field, on Thursday in the Champions Trophy, an unbeaten 134 from Kumar Sangakkara inspired Sri Lanka to a 7-wicket win over England to leave Group A wide open ahead of the final two matches. That's the latest world sport from the BBC. The BBC.